ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयम् श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्मि अद्वयं सदा. सो इन् द प्रीवियस् डे वि सा द श्लोक जडा जड विभागोयम् अजडे मयि कल्पितः भित्तिभागे समे चित्र चराचर विभागवत. सो जड अजड विभागम् आल् सार्ट् आफ् केटगरैसेशन् आर् द डिफरेन्शियेशन् आर् डिविशन्स्. सो डिविशन् ओके द रैट् वर्ड् इस् डिविशन् फर् विभागम् but differentiation, categorization all are also the same as division, because ultimately we are talking about duality in short, or in brief, like we are talking about duality. It's not about anything else, it's about duality. So duality is just an illusion in non-dual me. So, why is duality being made a villain? So, we can say duality is some kind of very beautiful. Duality is something, dvaitam is something which is very beautiful to experience. So, a bhakta differentiates himself from Ishvara and gets anandam out of it. A person, a worldly person, when such a person differentiates between people, he is able to choose his partner and lead a very beautiful life. And today, people are looking for a life that is filled with all worldly pleasures. So, why duality is made a villain in the Shastras? So, duality is never made a villain in the Shastras. So, duality is never degraded. Duality is never told to be renounced. So it is a wrong notion when people think that Shastra Advaitam, the word Advaitam doesn't mean that Dvaitam has to be killed or terminated. It just means that Advaitam is real. That's it. Nothing else can be added there. Advaitam alone is real. If Advaitam alone is real, whatever else can happen, Dvaitam can happen, Vishishta Advaitam can happen, Shuddha Advaitam can happen, Bheda Bhedam can happen. So many different Dvaita Advaitam can happen. So everything can, anything can happen. But whatever happens here, Advaitam alone is real. So that is what we have seen this shloka quite a lot from Gaudapada, that Maya Matram Idam Dvaitam. This Dvaitam is Maya Matram. Advaitam paramartatah. Advaitam is paramartam. Advaitam is real. Advaitam is eternal. So, it is just this knowledge that the Shastras give. Of course, it is up to a sadhaka to decide his own path, or depending on the sadhaka's nature, the guru might prescribe a path, and as a result of that path, the sadhaka might take up sannyas. The sadhaka might end up doing sadhana or dhyanam for 5 years or 6 years. That doesn't mean that everybody will go through that. And that also doesn't mean that dvaitam is being degraded in the Shastras. So even people like Ramana Maharshi, who used to do lot of sadhana away from the world, they also came down to the world. Ramana Maharshi, who used to sit and do dhyanam in the temple caves, and who went to Virupaksha cave, Skanda ashram and all, and then he finally came down to Ramana ashram to help people out. So Shankara, the great seer of Shankara, who took up sannyasam, did benefit the world. He did things to benefit the world more than any worldly person. So even now we see like various sannyasis around the world are doing things which normal people are not able to do. Normal people are able to give monetary benefit. So if we have a father or a mother, they'll be able to give us some money. But can they give us peace of mind? No. But it is sannyasis. Many sannyasis are giving peace to the entire world. People come to my father asking for Paramatma's CDs. Over and over again, people who are not willing to spend much money, people who don't have that much time, they still are interested. Yeah, people flock around, used to flock around Chinmaya's discourses. Today, Tejomiyananda, people flock around Tejomiyananda's discourses. So that means, of course, amidst all this, there are grihasthas as well, like Balakrishna Nayar, Nuchur and all. So, such distinction or differentiation cannot be really made. But the point is that Shastras never decry the, or decree whatever is the right word, the Dvaitam or whatever duality we experience. The Shastras only give us a, like as Paramatma beautifully always says, the Shastras tell us as to what is real and what is not real. And then Shastras say, if you want moksha, do this. It's up to the sadhaka to do it. Of course, there are some people are more compassionate than Paramatma. Therefore, people like Balakrishna Nair tell, okay, why don't you? Even a child can understand and implement it. So, why don't you implement it? So, they are compassionate that they don't just preach Vedanta. They inspire us to implement Vedanta. They force us to implement Vedanta. So, they are more compassionate. Because compassion, we can't say like, we can't give gradation of compassion. So that is a more compassion is also a wrong usage. It is just to show that some people might go to other extents, a lot of extents to prove or to let or to get things done than other people. That doesn't mean that A, who doesn't go beyond his limits is not good, or B is good or better because he goes beyond limits. So it doesn't work that way, so we can't compare. But the Shastras don't say that Dvaitam is to be renowned. The Shastras only tell us that Dvaitam is unreal. So that Dvaitam which is unreal, if you go behind that Dvaitam, then you will end up in sorrow. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga. Dukkayonaya yevate adhyantavanta kaunteya nate shuramate buddha. So Krishna says, O Arjuna, yehi samsparshaja bhoga, whatever enjoyment you get out of sense contact, out of contact of sense objects with sense organs, so whatever sensual pleasure you get, dukkayonaya yevate. Dukkayonaya eva, they are dukkha yonis, they are seeds of sorrow, definitely eva, definitely, all those day. Why? Adhyantavanta kaunteya, because they have a beginning and an end. So that which is, has a beginning and an end will itself end. So the happiness that is derived out of something which will end, which will vanish, is also limited. So the happiness that house owner gets from the paying guest is lesser than the happiness that they get from their own child. So this is because the child or their son stays in the house for a longer period of time than the paying guest. The paying guest stays for 1 year or 2 years, maximum 3 years, 5 years, like that. The son stays for a longer period of time. So that's why. So the longer an entity's longevity is, the longer happiness it can give. And whatever longer it be, whether it is millions of years still, if it is not eternal, it cannot give us eternal peace, eternal happiness. So even sun, like what we say as sun, is sun's longevity is considered as many, many years. And still sun cannot give us eternal happiness, and doesn't give us. Why? Some days sun becomes like sun sun's power is getting reduced, global warming. Some people say global warming on one side, some people say global cooling on the other side, and both fight. And when both are fighting, there are terrorists who misuse this, and there are people, politicians, ready to So there are politicians who are ready to exploit the situation, exploit any opportunity that comes their way in order for their own benefit. So there are people like around. So it's a total chaos. So Dvaitam need not necessarily give us a chaotic situation, but Dvaitam will give us sorrow. So any Dvaitam, whether it is like a good Dvaitam or bad Dvaitam, okay, if we have Dvaitam even with respect to Namas, I like Lalita Sahasranama more than Vishnu Sahasranama, gone. There itself, Dvaitam has started. So Dvaitam has started means if Dvaitam is there, if Bhedam is there, then immediately we can know that there will be Dukkham following. So in that case, what should be done? So Vidyaranya in his fourth chapter of Panchadashi says that Dvaitam can be split into two, Shastriya Dvaitam and Ashastriya Dvaitam. So Dvaitam which is based on the Shastras and which is not based on the Shastras. So Dvaitam can, the way we interpret Dvaitam is different in many cases. So we can interpret Dvaitam, we can see Dvaitam as something which is real, we can also see Dvaitam as something which is presently there, but not eternal. So that means knowledge, like if we have knowledge about Dvaitam, then that is proper, that is good. So Dvaitam is still there, we are not affected by it. So, and the other case, like we see Dvaitam, we consider it as real, it will cause us problem. The common example that is used and Shankara gives in his Gita Bhashyam is that a person who doesn't know that the water seen in desert is unreal, he'll run behind it, and once he runs behind it, he'll not get it, and thereby he will become sad. Whereas a person who knows that there is no water in the desert, but he sees it and he runs along with others, he'll not become sad after knowing or after achieving that, or after achieving the truth or the goal of non-existence of water, he'll not be sad because he already knew. So that is what is to be done. So Dvaitam is not to be renounced, but Dvaitam has to be known to be untrue or not eternal. So that is what a sadhaka has to have with respect to the world. So if that is the case, then what should be the attitude of a sadhaka with respect to Dvaitam? Of course, the Shastras say that with Dvaitam, we have to have an attitude of Sakshi Bhavam, witnesshood. So witnesshood is to be followed with respect to Dvaitam. I am just a mere witness. I am not affected by it in any way. So now comes a very interesting argument or question. You say Sakshi Bhavam. So Sakshi Bhavam itself means there is something to witness. So there itself division or Bhedam or Dvaitam comes into picture. So since there is Bhedam or Dvaitam, therefore the Sakshi that you say is not one with Brahman. So till now you proved that I am Brahman in the initial shlokas, and now you say Brahmeva Ahamatasiddham and all, and now you say that I should maintain an attitude of Sakshi Bhavam. So in that case, the Sakshi I is not the same as Brahman I, because Sakshi I is entangled by Dvaitam, whereas the real I or true I of Brahman is unaffected. Brahman is not at all in the picture. So this is where Vedanta makes a small distinction with respect to Sakshi and Brahman. So that is found in Krishna's interpretation of the three Purushas, Akshara Purusha, Akshara Purushastvaham, Akshara Purusha and Uttama Purusha. So Uttama Purusha and Akshara Purusha are the same. They are not different. But Uttama Purusha, he is never in Dvaitam, whereas Akshara Purusha seems to be in Dvaitam. So that means Uttama Purusha takes up a new role of Akshara Purusha when facing the world. So Akasham is eternal, Akasham is infinite, Akasham is never affected. But the same Akasham, which is infinite, that Akasham, like when inside a pot, it becomes a pot space, or Gata Akasham. Gata Akasham and Mahakasham are the same. But because of the Upadi, the adjunct of pot, it seems to be different. It is as if different, it is never different. When pot is there, Mahakasham seems to be Gata Akasham, and different from Mahakasham, the difference is not at all real. Difference is only an illusion. It is because of the adjunct which itself is not real. So, if more analysis of this can be found in the Mayavada Darpanam work, you can go to vedantatattva.org and go through Mayavada Darpanam at the end portion where the Gita Shlokas, 15th chapter Gita Shlokas about the three Purushas are explained. So, but Vidyaranya also says the same concept or the same thing with respect to Sakshi in his Nadaga Deepam. Ahankaram diyam Sakshi Vishayanapi Bhasayet Ahankaradhyabhavepi Swayam Bhatyeva Purvavat. So this Sakshi is like a Ikshesranomi Jigrami Swadhyami Sprishamyaham Iti Bhasayate Sarvam Natyashalasta Deepavat. So it is like a Nrityashalasta Deepavat. So Nrityashala Stitaha Deepaha. So a lamp that is there in a Nrityashala or a drama place or a theater. So in the theater, the lamp illumines people who are on stage and performing. It also illumines the instrumentalist. It also illumines people who are viewing it. So it illumines everything, irrespective of whether people are there, whether a drama is going on or not. So at night time, drama is not going on, but still the lamp is there. When drama is going on, the lamp is there. Drama is not going on, still the lamp is there. So Ahankaram Diyam Sakshi Vishyanapi Bhasayet. Sakshi, this Sakshi illumines Ahankaram, ego, Diyam, Buddhi, Vishyan, Vishyas as well. Ahankara Dhyabhavepi. When Ahankara etc. are not there, Swayam Bhatyeva, it shines by itself. Purvavat Deepayeda Visheshena Tadabhavepi Deepyate. So when objects are not there still, the lamp shines. So in the same way, so Sakshi is the name given to Brahman when it seems to be identified or associated with objects. So objects are these objects, or we can term these objects as Prapancham or Jagat, whichever is easy for us to understand, or Dvaitam we can say. So when Dvaitam is there, of course Brahman has to be in Dvaitam. Oh, why Brahman has to be in Dvaitam? Okay, my bad. Brahman has to be as if in Dvaitam. Okay, why Brahman has to be as if in Dvaitam? Brahman has to be as if in Dvaitam because Dvaitam is not real. Okay, why Brahman has to be as if in Dvaitam when Dvaitam is not real? Why? Simple, if something is not real, it requires a real substratum. So that means, in order for the dream world to be experienced, there should be a real dreamer. Without a real dreamer, no dream can happen. So the dreamer is in no way related to the dream world. Is no way. He is without any taint. He is a separate entity with the dream world. But when dream world is experienced, the dreamer becomes the substratum. Becomes the substratum means like a substratum hood. So becomes the substratum, shouldn't it be becomes as if a substratum? No, both are the same. Why both are the same? Very simple. Substratum. Brahman becomes a substratum. So substratum, when does substratum exist? Substratum exists when something is there to be superimposed on it. And that something which is superimposed on it, is it real? It is not real, it is dvaitam. Dvaitam is not real. So if dvaitam is not real, then the substratum, will the substratum exist just as a substratum without anything superimposing on it? Yes, it might. It might. But do we call it a substratum in that case? Definitely no. We call a person a cowboy when he wears a hat. Imagine that he doesn't wear a hat. Then the cowboy hood is not there. The person still exists. A policeman becomes a policeman when he wears the dress. Without the dress, he is no longer a policeman, doesn't exist. But the person always existed. Person was always there. So in the same way, Brahman, like when Dvaitam is there, Brahman becomes the substratum, Brahman becomes the witness, and this witnesshood is with respect to Dvaitam. When Dvaitam is there, Brahman attains a witnesshood, becomes a Kurastha Chaitanyam. The Kurasthatvam is not real. Kurasthatvam is unreal because Kurasthatvam means when objects, witnessing objects. So Sakshi Bhavam, witnesshood, is there when there is something to witness. When whatever is witnessed is not eternal, then Sakshi Bhavam also can't be eternal. But just because Sakshi Bhavam isn't eternal doesn't mean that the entity which represents the Sakshi Bhavam is not real. So as long as Harry Potter movie is there, Harry Potter exists. If Harry Potter movie is not there, Harry Potter is not there. That doesn't mean Daniel Radcliffe is not there. He is still there. Jack Sparrow exists when Pirates of the Caribbean is there. The movie is there. But even when the Pirates of the Caribbean movie is not there, Johnny Depp does exist. He is not there as Jack Sparrow. So Jack Sparrow is a role or an identity given to Johnny Depp when the movie of Pirates of Caribbean is there. In the same way, when objects are there to experience, when objects are there in the world or seem to be there, then Brahman becomes a Sakshi. The Sakshi Bhavam itself is not eternal, it is just a relational characteristics of Brahman. So relational characteristic, it is not the true nature. So this is what is called as Tatastha Lakshanam. So this is not a Swarupa Lakshanam, it is not the very nature of Brahman, that Brahman is a Sakshi. Sakshi Bhavam is Tatastha Lakshanam. When objects are there, we call Brahman as a witness of those objects. So this is what the next shloka, which is kind of an important shloka, because it says even the Sakshi Bhavam is something which is not eternal. So Chetyo Paraga Rupame Sakshitapina Tatviki Upalakshanamevayam Nistaranga Chidambudehe. So Chetyam, Tejome Ananda gives the reading as Chaityam. I have the reading as Chaityam. So whatever is fine. Chaityam or Chaityam both mean the same thing. So in the commentary, Swayam Prakash Yati says that Chaityam means the various various identities of the Atman, like Kartrutvam or doership, etc. Chaityam in general means thoughts or any modification, we can say. So thoughts are modifications. So any thought or modifications modifications of the Atman, or modifications, not of the Atman, I'm sorry, modifications with which the Atman seems to be related. So Chaitya Uparaga Rupa. So Chaitya Uparaga Rupam. So Rupam means form, or we can say definition or description. So form that my form. So chetya uparaga rupa. My rupa, my form, which is chetya uparagam, which is related, associated with chetyam, which is associated with objects of the world, dvaitam. So that rupam, sakshita, that is sakshita. So it is this rupam, or this this special role that I get with, when associated with dvaitam, or dvaita prapancham, is sakshita, sakshi bhavam, and that is na tatviki. It is not tatviki. Tatviki means paramartatah. So paramartam, we can say. It is not eternal or true, real, we can say. Ultimately real. Why it is not ultimately real? Because upalakshanam eva ayam. Upalakshanam eva ayam. So this is I am, this Sakshi Bhavam is Upalakshanam Eva. It is Upalakshanam. It is not true Lakshanam, but it is Upalakshanam. Upalakshanam means, like, in a way, when related to something. It is not direct definition, but it is a indirect hint. So Upalakshanam alone. So he gives also, Lakshmidhara also gives a beautiful nature of the Atman. So nistaranga chidambudehe. So nistaranga chidambudi ambudi. Chidambu. So chidambu, sorry. Chidambu. Ambu means water. Chidambu means, sorry, ambu means my friend. Ambu means akasham, space. So chidambu. Chidambu means, okay, ambu means ocean only. Okay, I got confused a bit. I'm sorry. So ambu means ocean, water or ocean. So chidambu, ocean of consciousness, and nistaranga, which is without waves. So waveless ocean of consciousness. So this sakshi bhavam is just a upalakshanam, tatastha lakshanam of the waveless ocean of consciousness, which I am. So waveless ocean of consciousness is Brahman. So can there be any waveless ocean of consciousness? Definitely no. Why not? Because ocean means waves. So waveless ocean here means something which is beyond everything. So such description itself shows that it is beyond description. So the only way we can say that something is beyond description is when we try to explain it in a sort of illogical, it's not illogical, but non-existent way. Something, some definition, some explanation which cannot really exist. So it is same as asat. Asat means something which doesn't exist at all. So something like that. So can there be a waveless ocean? There cannot be any waveless ocean. So can there be something which is nirvikaram? Do we see anything without any vikaram? Definitely no. Oh, akasham is nirvikaram. Is akasham definitely nirvikaram? We say akasham is unaffected by whatever is happening, but akasham gives birth to other things. So that means akasham is also to an extent to vikaram. It has vikaram. So we can't say akasham doesn't have vikaram, else vayu and other entities will not be born out of akasham. Akasham will not merge with all of them. So that's all there. So which means that nirvikaram, can there be nirvikaram entity? Definitely no. So why all this? So does this really mean that such an entity is asat? No. It doesn't mean such an entity is asat. It only means that such an entity can only be hinted at. So Tejomi Ananda, in his book, he gives a very beautiful statement that truth can only be directed or hinted at. So we can point a direction to the truth. We can't speak about the truth. Why? Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. That which is beyond words and thoughts. Why is it beyond words and thoughts? Because it is our own very nature. How can we hint at ourselves? We can point finger towards ourselves. But when we point finger towards ourselves, that is pointing at our body. It's not the self. Can we point at ourselves as I? Like, you know, I... Wait, just a minute. I who am I? What will you say? How will you define? You can't. So the person who is going to define that himself, the subject, as the subject, rupam drishyam lochanam drikta drishyam driktu manasam drishyadi vrittayah sakshi drigeva natu drishyate. So going from one level, from objects to sense organs to mind, mind to buddhi, and then to sakshi drik, sakshi subject, sakshi drigeva natu drishyate. It cannot be seen because it is a subject. If it is a subject, it cannot be objectified. Objectification of the truth is not possible. So, but it is not asat. So, though the characteristics, so this is why some systems like the Bauddha system speak about the truth as asat or shunyam, and many other systems attack Vedanta, saying that Advaita Vedanta is shunyavadam. It's not true. Both will appear to be very same, because asat, you cannot define asat, you cannot describe asat. Same way you cannot define Brahman, you cannot describe Brahman. There's only one small difference between both. But small difference is a huge difference. Small difference is that asat, you cannot prove asat. Brahman also cannot be proven as such, because it is one's own nature. It is the prover. Brahman is the prover. Brahman is a matter of intuitive experience. Aparoksha anubhavam. So aham aham. So aham aham. Hrudaya kuhara madhye kevalam brahma matram. He aham aham iti sakshad atma rupena bhati. So that which shines inside Svaranam, that Svaranam is always there. This aham aham, it is, though it cannot be defined like asat, it is always there inside. And if we say this asad, this I is also asad, asad brahmeti ched veda swayameva bhaved asad, ato asya mabud vedyatvam swasatvam to abhyupeyatam. So Dhyaranya says, like, if interested people about this argument about shunyavadam and Vedanta as to whether both are same and all, like, there is a beautiful part in the third chapter of Panchadashi where Vidyaranya deals with this very beautifully. So asad brahmeti chedveda. If you say Brahman is asad, it is as good as you are asad. Asad brahmeti chedveda. Oh, wait a minute. Brahman is asad, we agree. But like, we don't accept like you are Brahman. Oh, the argument itself is about Advaita Vedanta being a shunyavadam. In Advaita Vedanta, Brahman is I. So asad brahma means I am asad. So asad brahmeti chedveda swayameva bhavet asad. You yourself become asad. So, in that case, that ato asya ma bhut vedyatvam, there is no vedyatvam, there is no nothing to know. You cannot know anything. Why can't you know anything? Because you yourself don't exist. If you yourself don't exist, you can't know anything. If you can't know anything, you can't also prove anything. So there cannot be anything proven, then you don't exist. Go back home. We can't even say go back home. You don't exist. Ends topic. And then there is nothing at all. So there is no moksha margam, there is no moksha, nothing exists in that case. And it is a simple thing, like Shankara doesn't enter into all these attacks and all. So, sadeva saumyadam agriyasit ekameva advitiyam. So Chandogya Upanishad along with that says, some people say, asadeva saumyadam agriyasit ekameva advitiyam. Asad alone exists. And then the Shastras just say no and then stop it. They don't explain it. And Shankara explains very beautifully, very simple, a very simple logic. Whatever exists or whatever seems to exist should obviously come from something real. If this world that we see comes out of nothing, can something come out of nothing? Oh, yeah, that is what Patanjali says as Vikalpa, which we saw yesterday. No, Patanjali said about Vikalpa as something which doesn't have any Vastu, which is Vastu Shunyam. But from where does the Vikalpa come? The Vikalpa comes from a mind. The mind is real. So out of nothing, something cannot come. If out of nothing something comes, then this world will, what will be this world? Each and every person, like, imagine something, one person prays like water should come, one person says water should not come. One person says this should happen, one person says that should happen. It will be a total chaos. The world will, our world is already in a chaos without all those. It will be in total chaos if that is there. So, Shankara says that from nothing something cannot come. Something, if something comes out or seems to be there, even something that seems to be there, should have a real adhishthanam. So, that is, that ends the topic. So, you, so swasattvam tu abhyupeyatam. You have to accept yourself as existing. Even though you may say the goal is shunyam, you do exist. You cannot deny the fact. You cannot negate. You cannot say that I am unreal. So, nistaranga chidambu. So, my upalakshanam of waveless ocean of consciousness. So, waveless ocean, it is a way of hinting at that which cannot be hinted. Not hinted or that which cannot be defined. So, Brahman cannot be defined. Manovacha, magochara. Brahman is beyond words. Why is it that way? Yan manusana manute, yena hur manomatam, tadeva brahmatvam viddhi, na idam yadidam upasate. So, yan manasana manute, that which cannot be known through the mind, yena hur manomatam, and by whom the mind gets the power of manas, whatever is my manas thinking and all, tadeva brahmatvam viddhi, know that to be Brahman. Na idam yadidam upasati. Whatever is there as idam in this world, that is not Brahman. Brahman is that which is beyond the mind. Chakshushas chakshuhu adimuchyadiraha prayatya smat lokat srotrasya srotram manaso mano yadvachoha vacham sahu pranasya pranaha. Chakshushas chakshur adimuchyadiraha prayatya smat lokat amrita bhavanti. Again, Keno Upanishad. So this is beyond Shrotrasya Srotram. So Shrotrasya Srotram. Srotram, sorry. Yeah. So it is called Shrotram in some case. Some people say it as Srotram. I think Shrotrasya Srotram. So it is the ear of the ear. Manaso Manoyat. It is the mind of the mind. Vachoha Vacham. It is the word of the word. So pranasya pranaha, it is the prana for prana, and a person who knows this, such a person overcomes or conquers this world. Kavinnu kadai manasin manasai kanninnu kannai vilasunno ramme prananu pranan neethanneyallo jeevannu jeevan ninnunmayallo. So you are everything. So Amma's song also reflects that. In some of Amma's songs reflect this concept itself. So, Brahman cannot be directly pointed at. So, that's why Tadastha Lakshanam. Swarupa Lakshanam means Brahman is Sachidanandam. So, what is Sachidanandam? Sat means that which exists always. So, that which exists as I. So, how can you point it or give more definition of that which exists as I? You can't, because it is a subject. So, that is the best way to explain it. Sat and Chit and Anandam. Sachidanandam. That which pulsates, that which is blissful, that always exists. That is Brahman. So that is also like all that which always exists. It is also a, with respect to existence, we say about Brahman. So that is also indirectly a relational way only. So Brahman cannot be hinted at. So if there is an ocean, the consciousness, ocean of consciousness is an ocean where there are no waves. No waves means there is no duality. So duality ends there. If duality ends, the moment duality ends, words end, thoughts end. So there cannot be anything but only anubhavam. So anubhavam means aparoksha anubhavam, not paroksha anubhavam. Aparoksha anubhavam, that only can exist. Nothing else can exist in that case, in that scenario, or in that way. So I am like a waveless ocean of consciousness. But when Dvaitam seems to be there, when Dvaitam is supposed to exist, considered as existing, all those like ways we can explain it. In all those cases, Upalakshanam, there is a Upalakshanam for me, and that is Sakshi Bhavam. So when Ramana Maharshi used to like explain things like very beautifully in some cases, So somebody went and asked him, "Oh Maharshi, what is the samadhi that is always there, or eternal samadhi? Is it nirvikalpa samadhi?" So Paramartha, in a joke, Paramartha says, if you say samadhi when Shankara or Vedanta speaks about samadhi, and you say samadhi, nirvikalpa samadhi, then I'll give you a blow in your head with my hand and wearing a gold ring. If I don't have a gold ring, then I'll go to T. Nagar, get to some Bhimas. I'll go to Bhimas. I'll go to whatever else is there. I'll go there and then buy an ornament and then give you a blow. So Ramana Maharshi used to say Sahajam. Sahajam means it is always there. So the Ramana Maharshi's example used to be the Tampura. Whenever a song, during the entire song, the song will end. And the Tampura is the basis. Tampura is there. Tampura, that Sa, is the basis, and that is always there. So Sahajam, it is always there. And so, when, Maharshi, then like what about like when you close your eyes? So when I close my eyes, when I am closing my eyes, it is Nirvikalpa Samadhi. When I open my eyes, it is Savikalpa Samadhi. What is Savikalpa Samadhi? Whatever is seen, I forgot the shloka. There is a beautiful shloka in one of the minor Upanishads and in Shankara's works as well. Like wherever the mind goes, mind or the eyes go, there, Brahmanas Tatra Darshanam. Wherever the mind goes, there, seeing Brahman. So that is Savikalpa Samadhi. Savikalpa Samadhi is when thoughts are there. Savikalpa Samadhi, when thoughts are not there. Nirvikalpa Samadhi. In both cases, what is there is called Sahajam. So this is one thing that is common in Nirvikalpa Samadhi and Savikalpa Samadhi, which is Samadhi. Samadhi that is always there is called Sahaja Samadhi, because Sahajam, it is natural, it is always there. So Brahman is always there, and that Brahman, when perceiving duality, when duality seems to be there, that Brahman is called Sakshi. And when objects are not there or not perceived, it is called just Brahman. In both the cases, so in both ways, there is only one entity that really exists. There is only one Brahman. Brahman alone exists. So nehananasti kinchana. There is no duality whatsoever here. So if you think duality exists, prapancho yadi vidyeta nivarteta na samshayah maya matramidam dvaitam advaitam paramartatah. So if the world exists, or if you think the world exists, it will definitely vanish. Don't worry, it will vanish someday or the other. And it will vanish means like it will not pose any obstacle. So sadhakam, abhadakam. So Ishvara's creation is this prapancham. This prapancham, which is Ishvara's creation, has to have Ishvara in it. Tad srishtva tadeva anupravishat. So that creation of Ishvara, which has Ishvara in it, Ishvara's nature is what? Brahman. Brahman's nature is what? Anandam. So Ishvara's creation also has to be Anandam. So if you think this world is posing a problem for you, don't worry. It will not. It will step aside. So when Moses, when his followers, and stood in front of the ocean or the sea and said, "Let the sea split into two," it split. That's a perfect example of what would happen when a sadhaka is in the spiritual path. When a sadhaka is in the spiritual path and the conviction, and has the conviction that Brahman alone exists, even as Moses had the conviction that Ishvara, God, will protect me, it split into two. It did that exactly. And it didn't pose an obstacle. And when they crossed, when Moses and his followers crossed, and then the sea became one again. So that means, that's why Krishna says, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. I will come to protect my bhaktas, destroy obstacle creators, and then uplift dharma, the dharma of Brahman, brahmajnanam anandam. I will come over and over again. So If the world seems to create a problem, have the conviction that there is only Brahman, immediately the world will step aside, because the world is not real. And for the world to step aside, you know, as in the case of Moses, Ishvara doesn't have to come in front of us in form and then protect us. No. Even like the sea, he doesn't have to split into two. What does that signify? That signifies that the moment we think that this world is unreal, the moment we know that this world is not real, is temporary, is changing, anityam asukam, then immediately once we know that there is no water in desert, why would we cry over, I didn't get the water, I just missed the water? We'll not cry at all. So it is like seeing a boat in the water in desert, and the boat like just passed away, so we are not able to catch it, so we are crying. We'll not cry if we know that the water itself is unreal. If the water is not real, then the boat is also not real, then why would I cry? Immediately, this knowledge that this prapancha is not real, prapancha is unreal, it's only something which seems to be there. Atmajnana maha nidra jimbrate jrambite asmin jaganmaye armaye vaude tichidhyomni jagad gandharva pattanam. So if we remember all this, immediately the prapancham nivarteta, prapancham will stand aside. Prapancham will step aside, prapancham will stand down, and let us proceed towards Brahman. And so the Sakshi Bhavam, when the Dvaitam seems to be there, I am a witness. So witnesshood and Brahman, Brahmanhood and witnesshood, Brahman and Sakshi, there is only one difference. The difference is Dvaitam, if it seems to be there. So apparently or seemingly existing prapancha, as Paramatma says. So this seemingly existing prapancha doesn't really exist. It is not real, we know that. So if we know that something doesn't exist, then what does it matter whether it is seen or not? I know that it is a rope, but still I see snake in it. What does it matter if I see snake in it? Nothing wrong. Oh, let the snake see. Oh, my dear snake, how are you? Are you doing good? Do you want some milk to drink? I have some milk, lot of milk I have. I drink a lot. So if you want, like, I'll give you a bowl. We can call it cheers and drink. We'll be able to see it in a different perspective. We'll be able to respond to such situations in a blissful way, in a happy way, not causing any turbulence in the mind. The mind will become nistarangam. The mind will become without any waves, vibrations, because matta parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. There's nothing different from me here. Then what should I do? Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyaktva karoti yah. I am doing just my duty. So this is just a role. I am playing my role. As Swami Vivekananda said, I'm glad I did big blunders. There's a lot of blunders going on in this world. So let the blunders continue. Let me do some more blunders. I love this. Oh, this blunder. Like, how beautiful it is to go on stage and then just dance in front of thousands of people. It is fun. It's the same way. Let me do some blunders. And what does it matter whether I fail in the blunder or not? Whether I fail or I win, I am always happy. Let me try to make it more filled with fun. So if we try this attitude that Balakrishna Nair says, if we try to see everything as Brahman, there is only Brahman here. Whether it is Sakshi or whether it is Nirvikara Brahman, doesn't matter. Only Brahman is there. If we are able to see everything as Brahman, it is just Namarupam in Brahman. Namarupam is not at all real. Namarupam doesn't create a new entity, there is no vastu. So Madhveda Makaranda at the end, like Lakshmidhara, would again give another beautiful shloka about this, that it is akandam, akanda vastu, and it is advaitam, there cannot be any differences, divisions, etc. So namarupam is only temporary, it's only, it cannot create any vastu. Vastu is only one Brahman. And if everything is that one vastu, then let me see everything as Ishvara. Let me perceive everything as Ishvara, filled in and out with Ishvara. Aham adishtya madhyam cha bhutanam antayeva cha. Whatever objects are there, I am the starting, I am the beginning, I am the middle, I am the end. How clear can Krishna be? Krishna cannot be any clearer. The sutra, various suktas are also very clear about it. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. How clear can the truth be explained or described or hinted at than this? It cannot be. So Ishvara pervades in and out like the Narayana Sukta, whatever it says. So how clearer can it be? It cannot be any clearer. But still, people don't enjoy bliss because they fail to apprehend it. They fail to give an ear to all of this. So they just give deaf ears to all these truths because it is Vedanta. So Dvaitam doesn't cause any problem, as long as we know that Dvaitam is not real. So I am just like whatever exists is only one Brahman, which is Nistarangam, untainted by Dvaitam. Dvaitam cannot even exist in such a Brahman. So if Dvaitam seems to be existing, then it is like a dream world. The dream world cannot exist at all. So we know that dream world cannot exist. There's no way dream world will exist. But still, we daily dream. Why aren't we affected by it? Because we know that it is not real. Before going to the dream world itself, we know it is not real. Therefore, whatever we see in dream world will not be affected by it. In the same way, if we remember that this world is one Ishvara, it is just Namarupam. Namarupam is not real. While perceiving the Namarupam, I am just a witness. So, if at all we differentiate between objects, then we remain as a witness to those differentiations. And that is not very simple. Therefore, it is simpler to remember that everything is one Brahman. So then, why cause differentiation and then be a witness to those differentiations? Why not just ignore those differentiations? So don't have any differentiation. Of course, that is also not easy. That's why the Shastras say that internally shift. So have all those differentiations, take in all differentiations in the mind, but whatever goes through the mind, have the filter of Brahman. So the filter, when it goes through the filter, everything is Brahman. So the filter serves as a sakshi, as a witness. Whatever comes in, it just ignores them. It is a transformer that converts everything to Brahman. Or like we can consider that it is just a filter. The filter of Sakshi ignores whatever is big, whatever is other than Brahman. So if Brahman, then go in. If not, like stay out. So there's only Brahman inside. Everything else is just interpreted in as required and then ignored. So this doesn't mean like we will not react. So when a dog is coming running at us, it doesn't mean like we will just stand there and say, oh dog, oh Brahman, oh Brahman. No, we will just run away from the dog or take up a stone and throw at the dog, or as if throw at the dog. So we will do all those, but internally we are laughing, oh dog, you don't exist, I don't exist. Whatever exists is one Brahman alone. So this Sakshi Bhavam is not different from Brahman. So we can have that Sakshi Bhavam very easily. So though seeing Brahman everywhere or being a witness to everything are different ways to implement, ultimately it all ends up in one thing. It all ends up is in remembering that Brahman alone exists and thereby rejoicing in bliss. So that is bliss. Kama krodha viyuktanam yatinam yata chetasam abito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. So for a person who knows that everything is Brahman and who doesn't have kama krodham, anandam will be the only thing that the person experiences ultimately. So that is the end result. So it doesn't matter whether we have Sakshi Bhavam or we see only Brahman. In both the cases, Sakshi is also like upalakshanam. It is just a, when objects are there, Sakshi, objects, we, as long as we know that the objects are not real, it is fine to even have Sakshi Bhavam. There is nothing wrong with Sakshi Bhavam if we remember that objects are not real. So, whether we have Sakshi Bhavam or whether we see Brahman everywhere, whatever exists is one Brahman alone. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Brahman is real, Jagat is only Mithya. Jivo Brahmeva Naparaha. Jiva is one with Brahman, not different from it. So, if we remember Anena Vedyam Satshastram, with this truth about, or scripture about truth, or teachings about truth, truth is done with this. Iti Vedanta Dindima, this is what Vedanta says, that with this everything is done. There is nothing else to know, there is nothing else to perceive, there is nothing at all. So, may Amma bless us that we may be able to maintain either Sakshi Bhavam or direct seeing everything as Brahman. It doesn't matter how we do it, but Advaitam alone is real. Let's try to remember it at all times so that we will be able to rejoice in bliss. So, Advaita Makarandam. So, the essence of Advaita. So, Makarandam, the honey or the essence in a fruit. So, that Makarandam, the essence or fruit of Advaita is Anandam. So that is what this works. This work strives to point us towards Advaitam. So here, Lakshmi, in this shloka, Lakshmi Dada proves that even though Sakshi, we say Sakshi, Sakshi is also one with Advaita Brahman or Advaitiya Brahman, Brahman or Advaitam alone exists. That is the what is to be pointed out. That is what is pointed out in each and every shloka. So with this, let our conviction grow about Advaita. May Amma bless us so that we may be able to rejoice in bliss. We'll continue later. Namaskar.